Good evening, folks. This is one of my favorite times of the week, as you know, to be here connected to you, touching you, and you touching me. And golly, we've got a lot of really fun things to be talking about tonight. And of course, you can call in for a mini past life reading of who you were in a past life. And I would like to mention something about that. The soul has memories. And it brings with those memories opportunities so that we can advance. And that is the whole story of why we're here and what we're doing here, to be able to advance. And there were times in the past when we didn't advance. And so that incarnating spirit has the option to choose where it would incarnate. And usually there's three choices. And those opportunities look like, well, it's almost like a movie on a screen. And we can see the range of what might happen in that lifetime and pick the place and the parents that we might be born to. Although I have to say, a lot of these souls, we travel as a group. And even their souls remember past lifetimes. So those things that occurred in the past are very important for soul growth, because there were times when we advanced and times when we fell behind. So keeping that in mind, that's why we're, you might say, dwelling on these occurrences of what we were in the past. And if you call in, we will tell you what you were in a past lifetime that would be of interest. You see, when you call in and you ask me that, I follow your voice. And it takes me to your body. And what I see around the body looks like a cloud. And I enter into that cloud. And that cloud tells me what you were. So call in for your mini reading. We'd be glad to do that for you. In each lifetime, there's three things that happen. We either walk the higher road, the middle road, or the low road. And I hope that all of you who are listening to my voice are walking the high road. These things all have a bearing on what has happened in the past. So I seem to be dwelling on the past because I know how important it is. Now, I know that there are people out there who want to call in. Call in and let us work with you. We'd be glad to do it. One of the things that we talked about, well, we've talked about ley lines, which I will mention something about ley lines. When we walk a ley line, scientists do not necessarily agree with ley lines. But if you've walked a ley line and you've received information from it, you know it's not important what scientists say. I've walked ley lines and I've gotten information from it. And there are some important ley lines. And where important ley lines cross one another, you find something fascinating at that spot. One of those places is Mount St. Michael in France. And on top of this mountain is this magnificent cathedral. I had been there and it was an interesting place to visit. And if you haven't been there yet, it would be a place that would be of interest to you too, because the place is so I want to say Middle Ages. If you have a connection with the Middle Ages, you would love to go to that place. And I walked those streets, walked all the way up at the top where St. Michael's Cathedral is. And it is so beautiful. The tide comes in, and when it does, there's water everywhere, and then the tide goes out, and there is sand. This was a stop of early American, well, early people who followed such paths. This was a very important path, and there were a lot of people who walked through those waters. When I was there, Archangel Michael came to me and he asked me to do some clearing there because there were a lot of wars that was fought in the areas around there. And we did that clearing. A beautiful place. And after hearing about it, you might want to go to the internet and see what kind of information is about that and the tours that are involved. I think you would enjoy being there. And while we're talking about tours, I'm writing another movie. The first movie that I wrote was about Julia Caesar's daughter. And this movie that I am working with, I've done a lot of work with the Cathars. And if you're not familiar with the Cathars, they were Christians. And it was the only group of Christians that the Pope called a crusade against. And their last stand, they went from castle to castle in southern France. If you're familiar with southern France, you know that their castles are all in ruins. And it is because soldiers followed the Cathars and tried to destroy them. It was all at the command of a pope. And that is a very interesting story in itself because the Cathars finally made their last stand at Montsoucour. That is an amazing mountain. And the soldiers were waiting at the bottom of the mountain. And they knew that if they went down that mountain, that the soldiers were going to burn them in the fire. I was there, and there is a monument that has been placed there about these individuals that did that. Mountain is high, and the soldiers really didn't want to go up the mountain. And the people that were hiding there said they would come down if they had time to celebrate one of their feast days. And the soldiers were willing to do this because they didn't want to climb up the mountain. Well, the interesting thing about it is some of these Cathars rappelled down the back of Montsoucour, and they took with them some remarkable artifacts. These were artifacts that were kept by the Templars and were turned over to the Cathars. And one of the artifacts was information about Yeshua and Mary Magdalene, about the fact that they were married. There was their marriage certificate and their promises to one another. The Jewish people at that time made covenants with each other before they were married. They were promises. And there was those written covenants that were taken by the Cathars when they rappelled down the back of the mountain. That was one of the things that was taken. They had some other artifacts also. And what they did is they took all of those artifacts and they deposited them in a safe place. We'll talk about all of that. And so to protect what they thought was very sacred, the other Cathars came down the mountain and allowed themselves to be put into the fire and killed. I had made several pilgrimages to this place, and at the foot of Montsakur, I, in spirit now, talked to some people who lived among the Cathars. They were Cathars, and they talked about the things that they believed in and the faith that they carried. And the church at the time did not agree with them because the Cathars did not believe that you had to go to a church, that it wasn't a building as such, but was something that you carried within your own heart. So that in itself was quite remarkable. They were very similar to what we would say the Gnostics are, this inner knowing. They didn't think they needed the church to interpret what their God was to them. They believed that they could go to God themselves. And this is interesting in itself. So, what is happening today? Do we need an interpreter that would explain to us what our God is like? Or should we go within and find that God within? This is where soul memories come into place, because the soul carries all of those memories from past lifetimes. And there is a learning process there. And so when we go to that place from a past lifetime, we learn from it. And when I take people to a past lifetime, they literally step into that lifetime. You see, I can tell people what a past lifetime is like, but imagine if you could actually step into that lifetime yourself and experience it, where you don't need anybody to tell you what that past lifetime was, but you can actually experience it. And that is what we do, my friends, when we work with a person and take them to a past lifetime. It is the lifetime that the soul thinks would be most meaningful to them. And some of the journeys that I have done with people, they have found other abilities that they had. Abilities to be writers. Abilities to be creators on some level that they're not using their skills in this at this point. We all have skills that we are not using to the best advantage. And so, my friends, I would say to you, let us take you to a past lifetime that your soul thinks is important to you, and review some of those skills. Review what you have learned in the past. And if you're interested in this, you can go to carolynevers.com, and on the left-hand side, you can order a past life review like this, where we actually take you to a past lifetime. You actually step into that lifetime, and you look at that person that you were. One of the most remarkable sessions that I think about that brings me great joy is, and I've spoken about this before, but I think it was so moving. This individual thought that they had a lifetime with Jesus. And so we ask that, take them to the lifetime if they had spent time with Jesus. And they did. Now, he came in spirit. It wasn't like he was in flesh, but he came in spirit, and he put his hands on her shoulders, and she could look into his face, and she could see etherically his eyes and his hair and the shape of his stature. And it was so remarkable to her because She started to remember on her own what it was like when she lived with him. These are the kind of memories that the soul has. And this is what we're working with, memories of the soul. And so let's now, my listeners, call in and ask me about a past lifetime, and we'll give you a mini reading, just a little indication of what you were in a past lifetime. So do call. It might stir up memories for you. And if you're not remembering this on your own when you go into meditation, do call. Let's give you some clues. Let's take you by the hand and tell you about some of the things that you've done in the past. The soul never forgets, and the soul carries with it your advancements, and it carries with it those times when you might say you failed. And when the person who is incarnating into this lifetime is ready to come into this lifetime, it sees the possibilities, and it looks like a movie screen. And you see the possibilities usually of three different places on earth where you could incarnate. And so this soul coming into this lifetime, the entity rather, has the ability to choose where it would live in the world. And if you're living in the United States, you chose that. If you're living in other countries, you chose that for a reason. Sometimes people don't know the reason why they're there, but they want to know. And you see, understanding where you are and why you made that choice is very healing to people. Very healing. So give some thought to that. And if you think this is of interest to you, go to carolynevers.com, and on the left side, there is a place where you can order a past lifetime reading. I know we discussed ley lines in the past, but have you ever walked a ley line? When you do, it brings forth all kinds of memories. The earth has a consciousness, and in that consciousness, it remembers. Nothing is impossible. It remembers all of these things. So, if you want to find more meaning in your life, walk a ley line. If you can't do that physically, you can do it in spirit. That's why meditation is so important. When you meditate, send your consciousness to a ley line and get that information. It's possible. The world that we are living in today holds so many possibilities. And if you would try that, you will find great blessings. Call in. Ask for your mini reading. We'd be glad to do it for you. And if there's nobody calling in for a mini reading, I'll discuss with you some of these other things that we've been talking about. So we touched upon the Cathars. When I was at Montsecur physically, I chatted with some of the Cathars. These were very brave people. Like I said, they came down out of Montsecur and walked into the fire to enable others to rappel down the back of the mountain with these sacred artifacts. And they were sacred. And we talked about some of them. Some of the facts in it was the astronomical signs when Jesus and Mary Magdalene were born. their relationships with one another energy-wise. And during the time of the crucifixion, when Jesus was laid in the, taken down from the cross and laid into a, rolled back the stone and laid into a place until his resurrection, I actually went there. And it's available that you can go there. It's called the Garden. And you can, the stone is not there, but the, you could tell where the stone rolled down this grate. I don't know what happened to the stone, but that's, the stone is missing. But you can go inside and see where Jesus was laid after he was taken down from the cross. It's an amazing place. There's so many amazing places in the world where you can travel and learn a lot about it. As we talked about, Mount Sakura is one. The Garden where Jesus was laid to rest after he was taken down from the cross. It's interesting to see where that stone was rolled back. It would have been quite a job to roll that back. And when Mary Magdalene went to visit Jesus in the tomb, she was wondering about how they would be able to roll that stone back. But the stone was rolled back, and there was an angel sitting in there in the tomb. And Mary Magdalene ran to tell the apostles that Jesus' body was not in there, that he had risen from the dead. And during that time when he was initially put into the tomb, one of the things that Jesus did was to heal the destruction that occurred in Atlantis. And there were dark priests there that caused a lot of destruction, that caused the breakup of the island for it to fall beneath the waves. And one of the things that was in Atlantis, I don't know if I discussed this before, but one of the things that was in Atlantis was a crystal bed. It was a bed made out of crystal. And underneath of the bed, there were these gorgeous colored lights. Blues and greens and pinks. And a person would lie down on that bed. And their body would be cleared of all of the negative thinking that they had used from the last time that they had their body cleared. And you see, negative thinking is a great, shall we say, impediment to the body. When you think negative thoughts, it affects the cells in your body too. It's hard to imagine this, but it does. And if you want the cells to line up the way they should line up, then you have to think positive thoughts. Positive thinking is so important for your health. The cells line up properly the way they should. When you think positively. And it covers the overall health in the body. So for those of you who have health issues, give this some thought or consider it, that negative thoughts have to be weaned from your thinking. Has great bearing on your health. I'm trying to think of some other things that we could talk about that would be of interest to you. We are open to you calling in for a past lifetime reading. We could give you some thoughts as to what you were in a past lifetime. What I do is I follow your voice all the way to the body. And then I look down on your body and I can see what you have done in past lifetimes. It's an amazing benefit to you because it helps you to remember. I remember past lifetimes. I remember being a Christian during early Roman times, where I died inside of the Colosseum. In this lifetime, I was in Rome. I couldn't go into the Colosseum because I remembered that. I remembered being a Christian and killed by the lions there. Christians went through a terrible time in Rome. And I remember being there in those early days. I remembered being there with my soulmate who tried to protect me. We both died there. And our souls went up to the center of the cosmos, where we reported that an attempted golden age had failed. So those of the light had attempted to bring in a golden age at that point of time, but it didn't happen. We've had a lot of attempts at golden ages. You might not be aware of it, but there is an attempt going on right now to bring in a golden age. Just think about that for a second, what that would be like. I have to say, and sorry to say, the Earth is going to be going through some very disruptive times because those of the dark forces understand what those of the light are trying to accomplish in this at this point of time, and they're using their best to destroy any good that can be accomplished by the light. And so you might be going through problems right now with finances, with a job, with friends. But let me tell you, my dear, it is temporary because what is coming is magnificence, a magnificent light. A golden age is on its way. Intend that you will be present during that golden age and intend that your children also will be present during that golden age. So, my friends, I invite you to call in. Let us give you a mini reading. It would be my pleasure to do so. And if I don't get a telephone call from you, then I'll continue giving you this information. What I learned when I was at Montsecur was that above Montsecur, there was an area where people from outer space were actually making a home for themselves to help direct humanity to a right path. And these beings came from Sirius. If you've seen a flying saucer, I've seen them, I've watched them from my house, and I've watched them when I was out traveling. They do exist. I've seen flying saucers go into the mothership. People might think I'm crazy, but they do exist. They're not here for mischievous reasons. They're here to help. There are advanced beings out in the cosmos that look upon us as their brothers and sisters and are trying to help us advance. That's what all of this is about, advancement. And so if you have any questions about what I have been discussing, call in and let's talk about it. I would be glad to do that. Or if you have had some similar experiences, call in and tell me about that also. My friends, we're halfway through our radio show tonight. And if you wish to address any of these issues, I suggest you do it soon, because before you know it, our hour is going to be over. Have you ever had a feeling of what would be called deja vu, where you felt like you had done this before? Have you had an activity where you felt that, gee, I've done this before? Well, you probably have on another level. Call in and tell me about your experiences with deja vu, not only talking to me and telling me, but all those who are listening. Thank you. Ellen on two. Tell me,
hello?
Ellen. Yes, dear.
Helen.
What is your question?
I just jumped on the phone. I am securing to have a fund and to have a Reiki past life reading with you, Carolyn. Probably next week I will order online. Meanwhile, and I'm curious about the relationship, the karmic relationship between me and Buddha and Babaji. It has been a subject on me lately.
Beautiful beings.
Yeah.
Now, which one are you more interested in, the Buddha or Babaji?
Probably, really, I cannot really tell, because I re-listened to the BBS show you did before, and the Buddha said that Babaji is kind of is another reincarnation from the same soul monad. So since Babaji is still, how about Buddha first?
You write these things down, don't you? You don't forget them. That's good. So who did you want to talk to? Because I'm going to call them in for you.
Some guidance probably something I can do. I can do this lifetime. I ran into a Chinese Buddhist organization lately. Has been 2 or 3 years. So it seems like you told me before that to start working from the community, from local community. I don't know whether that organization is included. Probably I'm looking for some kind of guidance.
What organization are you talking about?
It's called Bodhi Meditation.
Oh, Bodhi Meditation. So what's your question? You want to know if you should be doing those meditations?
If I'm doing a volunteer for them. Is this organization part of the path of starting from local communication? They originated from China, from Tibet, but they have a meditation center in San Francisco. I've been volunteering, and it seems like I'm doing more and more. So I'm
Helen,
wondering.
Helen, I'm not quite sure of your question, sweetheart. Please make your question more clear to me.
Sure.
What are you trying to find out?
I'm trying to find it out. Should I work with this organization more, and it's a part of my path or work I need to do, and I.
Let me ask you a question. When you work with them, how do you feel about it? You know, this question that you're asking me, you really know the answer to, and you find out that answer through emotion. So, when you work with them, what kind of emotions are you feeling?
Well, it is satisfying, and with great respect, and I'm happy about it, but it is not a paid job. And the job demands more and more of the time. Sometimes I'm in a struggle.
How long are you willing to give them that time, or do you feel like it's impinging on other things you want to do?
I am willing, but meanwhile, I have to make a living, that kind of thing. And
making a living is very important to you. Well, it's important to everyone. It's not just you. It's important to all of us. You've got to allow the time that it takes to make a living. So what kind of work are you doing right now to make a living, darling?
Oh, my husband and I own a technology company. That has been good for over 15 years, that we sold part of the company. We are starting, pivoting the company to a new direction. And, recently there's opportunity for a big acquisition for big players. Hopefully it will happen. That will resolve all their make-a-living dilemma.
That sounds like it's very important to devote enough time to that, to bring that into fruition, isn't it?
Right. That would help me to secure, to provide a financial security that I probably won't have to look for a job. Then I can spend more time to do the volunteering, to do spiritual work, you know, to talk to you and work with you. This kind of thing will be able to support more.
Well, how about dividing up some of your time between what you've got to do to make this business model successful and part of your time used for your spiritual work? I mean, there's no reason why you can't do both.
Okay. Okay. Well, sounds like that's what my husband is saying. Maybe before he's saying I'm out of balance. I'm putting too much focus and effort into the spiritual practice. I need balance out.
We all need balance, darling.
We all need balance.
He might be like holding up a mirror to you, telling you some things where maybe you are out of balance. I don't know that, because I don't know your private life, but your husband certainly does.
Yes. So, of course, obviously.
Are you happy with how your husband works with you?
I think he might have a point to have a balanced life, that he's actually supportive when life living is not jeopardized, right? We had a couple years of very difficult time. I start to see he has a point.
Well, you have to live in harmony with. I think everybody has to live in harmony with their spouse. And if he's not telling you things that you disagree with, well, work with him a little bit more in those areas. It doesn't sound to me like you're really disagreeing with what he is saying.
Can I say that again? It does not sound just to you.
It doesn't sound to me like you're disagreeing with what he's saying. You're agreeing with what he has said.
To some point that I want him to be more open about my hours to do the spiritual volunteer and the practices as well. I think he's opening more up, and so I am then balancing my part of the maybe that's a happy medium.
Didn't pay attention to what I said earlier about, did you want me to call in somebody like Babaji?
And I you do, had a question. I do.
Well, did you have a question for Babaji?
How can I meet him this lifetime?
I'm not going to call him in unless you have a question for him.
Sure.
Do you have a question for Babaji?
Because Babaji, the work he does he have any connection with this meditation organization? The work.
Let me call him in and see what he has to say. So I'll call in Babaji.
Thank you.
He's here. Can you feel his energy?
I'm seeing his trying to see his picture in my mind's eye.
That's good. Can you feel his energy while you're looking at that picture in your mind's eye? He has a very peaceful energy.
Yes, I'm seeing his eyes is loving. Accepting.
That's beautiful. Now, the question that you had for him, because I kind of have forgotten the question. Would you repeat the question that you have for Babaji?
Sure.
I'll ask him.
The meditation, Bodhi meditation, work and mission has anything to do with Babaji?
I'm asking him.
Thanks.
He said, yes, it does. Did you want more than that? A simple yes, or
yes.
Did you want... Okay, can you...
I want a little more.
He says it has a connection. What he is showing me is lines of light. I am seeing what looks like great lines of light. And he says that they are connected by lines of light. And he's talking about, he's asking a question. What is a master? And he's answering that. Well, I'll tell you, you can tell me what you think a master is, and then I'll tell you what he is saying. What do you think a master is?
A person who is able to lead, to influence, loving, kindness, compassion.
All of those things are true, he is saying. And he's adding to that. He is saying, first of all, you have to master your own life. That kind of sounds cool to me.
Yeah.
He says, mastering your own life is of extreme importance because one has to know the missions that they came to Earth. In other words, the soul has sent this finger of consciousness into Earth. And it has missions that it is to accomplish. And so, to be a master in your own life, you have to understand this. What is your mission? And following that up with, are you accomplishing your mission? He has some other things to say about that. But we're getting closer to the end of the show. And you said that you were going to order a reading?
Yes, I want to.
How about at that reading, we ask him to come to that reading and bring
Wonderful.
Information Yes, and he is agreeing to this. He's saying he will come to that meeting and he will give you more information along these lines of mastery.
Yes.
Mastery awesome. Is extremely, yeah, he's saying mastery is extremely important in a person's life.
Mm-hmm. It kind of dawned on me. It's very enlightening. It's making me think, to feel. Inspiring.
Think and feel such beautiful things. We have probably about 4 minutes left on the show, so I'm going to go right now, leave you, okay. Darwin, and we'll connect mm-hmm. with you at this reading. We'll bring mm-hmm. him along. I think he can add a lot. He's willing to come. We can add a lot to it.
Oh, I'm so excited. Yes.
Okay, sweetheart. We'll talk more.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sweetheart. Those of you who are listening to this call, if you wish to donate, but you have felt that you have benefited in some way, you can go to the donate button and add something that will help us along our work. And so we have 3 minutes left. And what I would like to say is thank you for bringing me into your homes. I do appreciate being here. And I look forward to next week and what we might next week bring to your knowledge and your understanding. And we'll keep in touch with Helen about Babaji and what he has to say about these lines of light that go from master to master and aid us in our own mastery. We'll give you some thoughts about it next week. And so, my friends, until next week, my love and my blessings are with you. Good night for now.